Hey everyone, welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
Alright, if you have your Bibles with you, if you turn to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. The Bible says, "For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is a homeborn a slave? Why is he spoiled?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and watch care. Lord, we pray tonight that you would bless your word to the hearts of your people that are here. Lord, stir us up to your service. Show us what our needs may be. According to your mercy and grace, we pray it. Amen. Now, I want to notice a number of things from our text. First of all, I want you to see that Israel had two major problems that resulted from sin. Now, we hear a great deal of preaching and preaching and preaching on sin and what sin consists of, but I don't think we hear enough about the results of sin in people's lives. Now, there's results of sin in the people of in the lives of believers, and I believe we hear a lot about that. It's fairly well covered. But I want you to know there's results in the lives of the non-believer as well. Sin impacts them as well. Do you think Esau was a believer? The Bible says that the Lord hated him from the beginning. He wasn't a believer, but he had a very difficult life. And a lot of the times that's what sin does, is it impacts us. So notice what he says in verse 10. Jeremiah writing to the Lord's people, "For pass over the isles of Chittim." Now, unusual statement, because in that time they could not fly. Airplanes had obviously not yet been made, but he gives them the advice to go over them. Now, what that means is take the big view. Look at the whole thing. Anytime that we have anything before us, we need to see the big picture, what's going to carry out from the years from now. Now, most of the time, your modern-day Christian sees about to the end of their nose. And they make their decision on a point-blank one event happening. We need a broader scope. We need to know what's going on. You know why our churches are not missionizing? It's because they only can see to the end of their face. That, well, it's the end time and the Lord's coming, so we can just sit by and wait. Well, if that's true, show it to me in the Bible. It's not there. He says, "Go ye into all the world," and he never changed that statement yet. We are to go. So first of all, he advises Israel, you get the broad look, you look about you. Pass over the isles of Chittim and see. Number one, get the broad view, and number two, look at it. Have you looked at your own life this evening? Have you looked at the power? Have you looked at the ministry of New Testament Baptist Church? Get the broad view and see. And then he says, "And send unto Kedar and consider diligently." Have we thought about the problems in our personal lives? Have we thought about the blessings in our personal lives? Have you thought about the blessings that's been bestowed on New Testament Baptist Church? Have you thought about the issues that occur from time to time? We are to consider how we arrived where we're at. If you're close unto the Lord tonight, consider how you got there. If you're distant from Him and it's dry, consider how you got there. And that's what He was telling Israel to do. And consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. I want you to see that that's the second time He told them to see. That's the second time He told them to take notice. That's the second time He says, you look at the whole situation and you see what it's for. And then lastly, He tells them this, see if there be such a thing. See if it's truly present. See if a problem really exists. See what's there. Verse 11, have a nation changed their gods? Now that's a question. Have a nation changed their gods? Well, certainly Israel had. Israel had changed their God. They no longer recognized the great God Jehovah for who He was. They were out serving Ashtaroth and Baal and other false gods. Had they changed their gods? Yes. Now let me ask you this. Have we changed our God? Now, this is the truth of the matter. The best we understand and the best the Word of God conveys at New Testament, we have not changed our God, but there's some that has. What kind of God is a God that's wrenching His hands and worried if you're going to make the right decision? That is not the God of the Bible. And we have people do that all the time. We have people, what about a God, that's worried about your bank account? He doesn't exist. What about, you know what? Everybody's going, well, how will this thing go nationally? What about this with ISIS? You know how it'll go out? Exactly how God wants it to go out. That's how it will fall out. You know why? Because He's sovereign. He's holy. And He's above all that is. That's our God. But is He preached today in that matter? Certainly not. Not by and large. And you know why? It's not the nature of man to want a sovereign God. It's the nature of man to want a God that we control. Is that not the basis of Arminian doctrine? Sure it is. That we can control it and that we are in control. It's never been that way. So have a nation changed their gods? Sure they have. Which are yet no gods, but My people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. See, that's an exchange. They change their glory for something that doesn't profit. They exchange what they had that was good and right and holy for something that was worthless. And have we not done that? Have we as a nation, just like Israel, exchanged what was righteous and holy and good for something that is nothing? You know what? Even in the formation of our nation, in our public school systems, we are taught that the majority of the early believe or the early people of our country, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, were agnostic at best. Do you know that's a lie? But that's what they're teaching in our public school system. Most of them were devout believers in Christ, but they're not taught that. So we've seen the results that happen in our life. They're not going to be profitable when we begin to change these things. He says, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. In other words, when you recognize and see your position of God before God, be shocked, be upset. Be fearful. You know, that's not a pleasant teaching today. But I remember when the Lord saved me, when I realized the situation I was in, I was fearful. Yes, God was loving and a wonderful, wonderful thing, but I feared Him greatly. And you know, the truth is, I still do today. What does the Bible say concerning fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and or knowledge. It says both. So how can we learn of Him if we don't fear Him? I think it would be an impossibility, do you not? And so we see then that as Jeremiah's writing to a very wicked, sin-drenched nation, he says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils." And this is what they were. "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Doesn't that seem against nature? But we do it all the time, do we not? We get worried and we get upset about economics and we run to ourselves, do we not? I can get a second job. I can go do this and I can go do that. And man, I'm not letting you off the hook. You got to provide for your families. But let me say this, God is our provider. We want a lot more than we need. I will say it that way. So he said, he gives them the first problem. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And notice the second one, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water. Now, a water or a well, here in Stewart County, most people are on city water or county water these days. There's still a few left that's not. But a well has its own supply. A well, you've tapped into an underground stream. A well is a continuous supply of cold, good, fresh water. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have in our great God Jehovah. But you know, notice what they says, "But ye have hewn cisterns." Now, most of you probably don't even know what a cistern is, but I do. My great-grandmother's house had one. And what you do with a cistern, it is just a dug-out hole in the ground. They cement it in, and they dump water in there, and all you have is enough to do you till the next water truck comes. And while it sits in there, it gets stale, it gets dirty, and a good cistern will hold water for a long time. It's not preferable. If you've ever drank out of one, you know, Mama wouldn't even let us drink out of Granny's cistern. She made us boil the water first. In fact, and I really didn't understand that time, she says, "I'd rather y'all drink out of the creek." And now I understand she wanted fresh water for her kids. And listen, the creek wasn't that clean because right up the road, Junebug Coakley had his cows out in it. But she said, "I'd still rather you drink out of that." And you know why? Because it's stale. It didn't have what we needed. And so we see a day and place in the nation of Israel where they preferred stale water over fresh. And I say there's two reasons why. Number one, cistern water is easy to get to. A cistern is never deep. A cistern is never hard to access because it's barely under the ground. A cistern is easy. You can almost just dip up out of it and have it. And you know what? What do we have to do to wells? What do we have to do to wells? You have to pump and you have to pump and you have to pump. And after a little while, that good cold fresh water will start flowing. Number one, first and foremost, we're not willing to dig in. Cistern water is easy to get to, but it don't do much for you. You know, modern age doctrine is easy to get to, but listen, it's not going to do a whole lot for you. Somebody telling you how good you are, it may make you feel good for 10 minutes, but you know what? You don't have nothing to grow on. You don't have nothing to feed your soul. You don't have nothing to continue with. You know why churches are falling apart at the seams? Is they've been living on cistern water. Why there's no power in the preaching anymore? You have preaching men living on cistern water. Their doctrine runs about that deep.
Amen.
And you know what? The Holy Spirit is not going to bless that. You know what makes the Word of God a living Word? The Holy Spirit. You know what makes it dry and empty? And don't look at me like I have three heads. If you've not gotten that book and had it dry and empty at times, you will. And my guess is you have, if you've been serving Him very long. And you know what the difference is? It's not that. Because the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And He also says that He is that Word. So it can't be Him, and it has to be us. Now, we have a nation that's satisfied with cisterns. Now, the only thing worse than a cistern is a cistern with a hole in it. A broken cistern, is it, as it's described here. Now, if you dump a bunch of water in a cistern and the cistern has a hole in it, it's going to run right out. And you get there the next morning and it's empty once again. How many people leave here somewhat fueled up for the day, for the days ahead till we meet together, and by the next morning you're dry and indifferent again? You know what? You're living on cistern water, and somewhere you got a hole in the cistern, because this stuff should last us from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. So we have a problem in the cistern. We have a problem in the well. We need to be living off well water, and we'll be well nurtured if we do. Very quickly, turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we find an individual that looked very good. We find an individual that kind of looked like he was the real deal. You know, sadly enough, 20 plus years of ministry has taught me this. Watch them for a while. And I don't mean that bad, but it's true. See how long they last, see how long they continue. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 8 in the very first verse. I'm sorry, that's not the verse that I wanted. Look with me in verse 5. And Philip went out to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I want you to see, he was just preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracles which he did. For the unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. I want you to see a revival occurring. I want you to see people being moved by the person of God. People says, oh, I believe that the healings is past. Well, let me say this. This is one individual that's had a healing. Did he use means? Absolutely he did. But you know what? God brought the healing. And you know what? Our God, well, again, Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. If he healed in that day, why could he not heal today? Now, can we demand healing? No. But we can go before him as pitiful, unclean creatures, and we can beg for it. That's the difference. But I want you to see, here they were having a revival. Here people were being saved. Here people were being healed. And it brought joy to the whole city. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now I want you to notice two things about him. Sorcery is real. If you don't think witchcraft is real, you better wake up. And secondly, I want you to see that he used it to control people. If you're lost, never been born again, people can control you. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to say amen or oh me, really doesn't matter, but it is a true thing. So I want you to see that this man was doing that. How did he do it? To whom he gave heed from, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man, how did he do it? Has the great power of God. Now notice in your King James Bible, that's a large G God, Notice the group he was dealing with. They were Samaritans, half-breed Jews. They knew the great God Jehovah. They knew who he was. And this charlatan was using the name of the mighty God Jehovah to present himself as something he wasn't. You know what? Everybody comes knocking on your door in the name of Jesus doesn't mean that's who they are. This man was giving him out that he was some great one. But what we find out that he was a fake and a charlatan and ungodly. That's what we learn about this man called Simon. Notice what he says. Verse 12, "And when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also." If you write in your Bible, if you underline or highlight, I want you to see what it says. "And he believed also." Does it say that he was saved? Does it say that he was born again? It just says he believed. Now, is that good enough? Well, if the Lord's dealing with you, certainly you'll find new life. But we find out from Simon things were not what they appeared to be. You know what? Apple trees still bear apples. And that's how you identify them. Christian people bear fruits. You can see it. You'll see love, joy, peace, long-suffering, fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Read them. And if those things are not present, why should we be convinced otherwise? That's why you have people that live like dogs their whole life. And then when it comes time and they're gone and they're before the congregation in a box and everybody says how great they are and remember, "Oh, I remember when Johnny said his little prayer." Why should we believe it? Amen. You know why? Because there's nothing to back it up. That's what Simon was. That's who Simon was. And so we see then, he believed also, superficially, skin deep religion, that's all he had, nothing regenerate, nothing of the moving of the heart, and we'll see that by the Word of God. Verse 18. "And when Simon saw, now, notice, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles," and again, if you underline apostles' hands, "the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money." Two things. Number one, whose hands were laid on? The apostles. Does the apostolic office still exist? No. And I can give you the qualifications in Acts chapter 2 and show you clearly why no one else is qualified. Another story, another day. But I want you to see they had the gift of laying on of hands and the Holy Ghost would come. And man, Simon wanted it. He wanted it really, really bad. And you know why? Was it to promote the kingdom of God? Was it to advance the cause of Christ? Was it to see people redeemed and born again? No, he wanted it for him. Filthy, selfish self. That's why he wanted it. You better watch these Joe Osteens and people like that, that all they're interested is building an economy. Because you know what? What I've come to see is they just don't love people. They love themselves like old Simon did. They love what they can advance in. And so we see that he gives himself away. Verse 20, "But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." You underline that one too. This is to me what says he is not saved. You know what? I can get out of the will of God and the Lord will work me up one side and down the other. Blessed be the name of God even for that. But my heart's right with Him. That means I'm redeemed. That's me when this life is done, I'm going home to be with the Lord. But Peter saw through that and said, your heart's not right. Peter was apostolic. What about Ananias and Sapphira? As soon as he laid eyes on Ananias, he knew what the problem was. We don't have that, but he did, and he could look and see the problem very clearly. He knew what this man Simon was all about. He knew his nature, and the Lord revealed that to him. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. This is it. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Circle bond. That means he's still a bondsman. That means he's still a slave. That means he's still a captive. He was in a bond of iniquity. You know what? He was a charlatan. He was a fake. And he still was a fake. Completely deceived by this world's element. He was a cistern. Read the verses we skipped for time's sake. 13 to 18. You know what? He ran along with Peter. He was beside them in the ministry. He was with the other apostles seeing God do great things. You know what? He fit in and he hung in for a long, long time. And then the well grew, and then the cistern dried up. He showed himself for exactly who he was. So what are you feeding on tonight? Do you have a well of living water? Do you get nourished on a daily basis? And where I find most God's people at today, unfortunately, is in the cistern phase. Settled with stale hot water. And then occasionally you see the pure fakes. A broken cistern. Won't even hold water overnight. That's a broken cistern. So where are you at? You know where we should be? We should be feasting on fresh water every day because I can assure you it's there. Amen. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, I am a well of water springing unto eternal life. It's present there for us. It should be cold. It should be fresh on a daily basis. But we're settling, you know what? We're settling for a lot less, ain't we? And you know what? The devil's about to convince us that's the best we can do. Well, I'm here to say, not true. I'm here to say one more time, Satan, you're a liar. Man, he's a prince of lies, is he not? And he's still lying to God's people today. You want to be plugged in to the well? It's still there. It's still present. My advice to you is seek him while he may be found.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Natcore Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher@clarksville.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Testament Baptist Dover. Once again, thank you for listening and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.